2 Kings chapter 7, chapter 8. 2 Kings chapter 8. I'll get it right here in a minute. We're going to look at verses 7 through 15. We're not going to read them all right now. We're just going to read a section and then do a section at a time. But this is lesson 21. I think we're just about done with this study on Elisha. Lesson 21. And here we're going to see depravity times 2. Depravity times 2. And starting in verses 7, in the first part, 7, 8, and 9. 7, 8, and 9, 2 Kings chapter 8. And Elisha came to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, the man of God has come hither. And the king said unto Hazael, take a present in thine hand, and go meet the man of God, and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? So Hazael went to meet him, and took a present with him, even of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camels burden. And it came and stood before him, and said, thy son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, hath sent me to thee, saying, shall I recover of this disease? Let's stop there. Depravity number one. Okay, King Ben-Hadad. Do you remember this guy? Do you remember who he is? Turn to chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Well, in verse 8, then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel of the servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And everywhere he would go, Elisha told the king of Israel, don't go there, because this is where the king's at. And so the king, Ben-Hadad, is who this is. This is the same king. And verse 12, he was all upset. He thought somebody in his camp was a spy. And the servant said, no, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel thy words, or the words that thou speakest in your bedchamber. So this is the good king, sarcastically, the good king, bad king. Then the king said, go and spy where he is, that I may send fetch him. And it was told the king that, behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent the king, this is Ben-Hadad, horses, chariots, great host, and they came by the night and compassed the city about. So they're gonna get him. They're gonna kill him. He hates him. He has no regard for this, for the man of God. But now he's sick. But now he thinks he may die. He wanted to kill Elisha, he hated Elisha, and he hated his message. Had no regard for Elisha or his God. Rather, he served idols to his own amusement. But now, in a time of bodily sickness, a time of concern, a time of distress, a time of conflict, a time of hardship, now let's go get the preacher. Does this sound familiar? I can thankfully say that I have not had this experience too often here. I have had it. I have had it. People have left. Things have happened. Call the preacher. No regard for what's being preached here. Actually left here. Walked away. And the men that I read on this, they said the same thing. They said, you know, if somebody wants me to come and pray with them, not over them, one preacher said, I'll do it. He said, but they won't call you. They have no concern about their spiritual state. But when they get sick, well, let's call the preacher. Or in my case, he can marry somebody. Let's use him. Now let's go get the preacher. Let's go fetch him. Perhaps he has a word from the Lord, because I've heard about this one. Notice the command, or the concern, is not for his spiritual well-being. He says in verse 8, Ben-Hadad, he tells his second in command, this is Hazael, he's second in command, nobody greater than him but the king. He sends him and says, go meet Elisha. Inquire of the Lord by him, saying, shall I recover of this disease? He did not have a single concern for his spiritual nature. It was physical. And that's what this is what depravity does. I'm okay. This is just sick. I'm just a little bit sick. And I hear this when I get around older folks and they can't do what they used to do, or they're not feeling, I used to be able to do this, and I used to be, and they just will not acknowledge age because of depravity is catching up with us. It's catching up with them. And will not acknowledge that. But also, he says, take some stuff with you. Let's see if we can't bribe him a little bit. You know, maybe that would help with his answer, perhaps. But he's not concerned for his spiritual welfare. But only his physical condition. Am I going to live? Well, God's judgment on this king is just and it's true. And this man will die how he lived. Without hope, without God, and without grace. Because we'll see this as we finish this lesson. The second point, that's depravity number one. The second point is the man of God, Elisha. Let's look forward. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. So Hazael meets this Elisha. In verse 10, Elisha said unto him, go and say unto your master, say unto him, thou mayest certainly recover, howbeit the Lord hath showed me that you're going to die. And Hazael, he's going to die. And Elisha settled his countenance steadfastly. In other words, he's staring a hole through Hazael. He's just looking at him, staring at him. I wouldn't have wanted to have been on the other end of the stare, because we'll see what happens. Until Hazael was ashamed, or embarrassed is what that word is. And the man of God wept. And Hazael said, why weepest, my Lord? And he answered, because I know the evil that you will do unto the children of Israel. Their strongholds will you set on fire. Their young men will you slay with the sword. And you will dash their children and rip up their women with child. Stop there. This man of God, if he's called to do one thing. Tell the truth, no matter what, no matter to whom. If the Lord would have me, or would have any one of us, have an audience with the mayor of Jackson, we don't change our message. Absolutely not. This man, Elisha, was called to tell the truth. He was called to tell it straight. He was called to proclaim the word from God to dying sinners. There's no watering it down, his message. There's no worry if the truth, when spoken in love, whether it offends men, women, boys, or girls, whether it offends their pride or character or their actions. Like John the Baptist, he says, it's unlawful for you to have this woman. Woe is the preacher, the called man of God, if he does not declare the full and free grace found only in Christ Jesus. Woe is he if he pares off the gospel edges or angles of the cross. Woe is he if he does not declare the whole counsel of God. And yet woe are they who hear it and do not believe it. The message in what we see here in Elisha is, he said he's going to recover, howbeit he's going to die. What he's saying is, he's not going to die from this disease, but he's going to die. The true messenger not the hireling, cannot be paid off, cannot be bribed, cannot be bought out, be intimidated, to not speak of God's glory in electing a people, the Son dying only for those people, and the Holy Spirit saving only those elect people. Perhaps, and I certainly agree with this thought, one gospel preacher that we know very well said, men and women cannot abide with electing love, particular redemption, and discriminatory revelation is because they do not know how depraved they are. They do not own their total and complete fall or depravity in the garden. They always say, I'm not as bad as this guy. I didn't do this. I'm okay. But when we compare ourselves to God, the straight, we're crooked. We're crooked. We're dead, we're blind, we're fallen, we're wicked, we're scheming, we're lost. There's never any spiritual good in us. And we could look at Genesis 6:5, and he says, only in imaginations, every imagination, the thoughts of our hearts are wicked, are evil. That's Genesis. We could go to Romans 3. We could go to all these different places in the Scripture and show how we will not seek Christ. We will not seek Christ. And we know, well, let's look at depravity number two, the third point. Depravity number two, verses 13 through 15. Now, before we turn there, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 19. Let's see who this Haziel is. 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. Now, this is the Lord talking to Elijah. Elijah dies, or Elijah is taken up in a whirlwind, and Elisha takes his place. So this is given to Elisha. Elisha can't fulfill it because he's taken by the chariots, but it's to be fulfilled by Elisha. Verse 15, 1 Kings chapter 15. And the Lord said unto Elijah, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when you come, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. So it's God's purpose is going to be done. This was prophesied, or this was told, that he was going to be king. He's the second in command. He was prophesied to be anointed king. God is now fulfilling his purpose of judgment upon King Benadab by the wicked hands of this second in command. Let's read what he does. So Elisha tells him what he's going to do. You're going to do this when you're king. You're going to set on things on fire. You're going to kill the men and women and children and rip up their women with child. And this is what this man answered. Hazael said, but what? Is thy servant a dog? That's the question. Are we dogs? Are we dead dog sinners? Are we as the beasts of the field? A believer would say, yes, we are. But an unbeliever says, but he couldn't hide his shame because Elisha knew what he was going to do and just stared at him. He just stared at him. And he began to cry. He said, am I thy servant a dog that he should do this great thing? And Elisha answered, the Lord has showed me that thou shalt be king over Israel. 1 Kings 19, we just saw that. So Hazael departed from Elisha when he came to the king, his master, Benadab, who said unto him, what said Elisha to thee? Look at what he answered. He didn't tell the whole thing. He answered, he told me that you're going to recover. That's a lie. That's a half-truth. I'm sorry, half-truth. Half-truth, we come up with, we say half-truth is a whole lie. Exactly, when it's regarding gospel truths. Now look at what else he does. And it came to pass on the morrow that Hazael took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it over the king's face. So the king died and Hazael reigned in his stead. Now, here's something that we don't know anything about. Before we start judging Haziel too quickly, we got to remember, he's second in charge of one of the largest countries, areas in the world at this time. He has opportunity, which means he has unlimited resources, power, money, and the right moment came up for him to act on it. We would do the same thing. We would do the same thing. If we've been living like we have, and all of a sudden, lottery, whatever you want to say, we don't know this kind of trial. Because the Lord's restraining. He has restraining graces upon his people. But just wide open, no accountability. Who's going to see me? Who's going to know? I'm going to be king. So he had the opportunity and the inclination. And his depravity will run wild. God did not, he prophesied that he was going to be king. So this is what God was now fulfilling, his judgment on the wicked king. But he says in Psalms 76, even the wrath of man shall praise the Lord. So God gets glory in this one way or the other. He says in Deuteronomy 32, I kill, I make alive. God does this. Yet Haziel was fully responsible in this despicable act. And Elijah knew this right well, and that's why he wept, because he knew his people were going to suffer greatly at this man's hand. It's almost like Elijah was saying, you can't help it. You can't help yourself, but this you will do because you desire, your heart desires to do it. If God doesn't restrain, we will be this bad. So I wouldn't do this. Yes, we will. I remember something Marvin Stoniker said probably 25 years ago. He said, I've learned never to say, I wouldn't do that. He said, am I a dog? Well, he, Haziel, nor would we by nature and by birth, we do not think we are capable of such utterly vile, corrupt acts. But we know we are. If God does not restrain us, this is what we're going to do. We know we would, we know we will, and we know we could. Our depravity is not conquered, but it's divinely subdued by the new nature. Our old nature does not get any better, but we have a new nature in place. That's why there's a conflict. That's why there's a struggle. Therefore, we can do what any other sinner can do. We can deny the Lord. We can walk away. We can murder. We can hate. We can extort. But the grace of God keeps us. And that, I'm so very thankful. So very thankful. That's why what Ezekiel says is 36, remedy for this situation, for us being found guilty here, is a new heart given by pure grace alone, through blood alone, by faith alone, and this is by the quickening spirit alone. Truly, if we are left alone, this is what we would do. And this is horrible. And in the man of God, he knew what was going to happen. And yet he knew this was God's purpose being fulfilled as it was told his master, his mentor, Elijah. So what I say is, oh Lord, cause us to own up our own sin. In the children, don't pass it off. Own up your own sin. Ask the Lord to cause us to confess our sins and forsake our sins, and may Christ take it all away from us, or else we'll perish. There's no alternative. We either act religious, or we are Christ's. And it's just amazing how this King Benadab, the first depravity, he's all of a sudden his whole attitude changed. Not really. Outwardly. And Haziel supporting the king, the king's right-hand man, and then turns around and just, Judas, betrayed with a kiss. Betrayed with a kiss. May we ask God to be merciful to us, that we do not end up like this guy, Haziel or Benadab, but may we seek him early, seek him often, and in seeking, he will grant mercy. He does not, never turns away a true cry for mercy. Nathan, would you close us?